Let's open our Bibles up to the book of James, and tonight we're going to begin the second chapter, and I believe it's been such a glorious study, and I believe the Lord, again, in His infinite grace, and as we yield to the Spirit, yea, the deep things of God, hallelujah. So thank You for the treasure, Lord, and we just go by faith, believing Him, and He brings it all. So let's go ahead and begin reading from the second chapter. We'll go ahead and look at the first 13 verses this evening. My brethren, have not faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto you assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that love Him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. You sure need the blood, don't you? Amen? Amen. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Now praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, because this precious book is just continuing to bring forth the heart of the true full overcomers in Christ. And this first verse brings out once again the prevailing theme in James, and that's faith. Faith, faith, faith. It hits you blunt in the faith, in the face. If you have respect of persons going on in you, you don't have faith. Now many would ask, and I've had this happen one or two times before, what in the world does respect of persons have to do with my faith? And I'll give you the answer to that, everything. And I'd like you to turn with me for that answer to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. So if you turn over to Galatians 5, 6, we'll understand that God is true to His word, and He means exactly what He says. And if we are respect of persons, we have not faith. And it says there in 5:6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. So see right there, brothers and sisters, He's stating it again. Circumcised or not, there is no difference with God. His blood was for all. Romans 2:11 tells us that there is no respect of persons with God. But it's that last part of this verse that I really am encouraged to bring out here, where it says, but faith which worketh by love. And by God's grace, I hope that we would absorb this, and this would convict us this evening, that faith worketh by love. This is the preeminent theme in all of James. Sure, it is faith, but it's faith worketh by love. We've said it many times, and I'm thankful to God He brings me this revelation more and more every day. The more by His grace that I see His love for me, that I see how much He loves me, that I go into that ever-expansive room of His love for me, the more I trust Him, the more I believe Him, the more I want to believe the Scriptures. As the Word of God is poured forth, that Holy Spirit who we know takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in our heart is also the same Holy Spirit who leads us or guides us into all truth. So you see, it's one and the same. It's called truth in love. And that's how God brings the truth and the love into your life. It's a wondrous package. He brings that love so you'll receive the truth. And in that coming into our lives, brothers and sisters, we believe. We have faith. We trust God. People in our natural life that we know love us, we trust them. Amen? Amen. It's your mom and dad. You trust people that you know love you. They'll do you good. They're for you. They want to see the best for you, especially godly parents. How much more your heavenly Father? And as we realize this and as we come to this, brothers and sisters, that is how God increases His faith in us, because He shows us again how much He loves us. But this faith that worketh by love is the preeminent theme. Without the perfect love of God abounding in our lives, brothers and sisters, there is no faith. Let's go over here to Jude chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, and read this together. That's Jude chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. But ye beloved, look at here, the beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. See, there's evidence right there. You want that most holy faith, that faith that's unwavering, that believes the wondrous truth, the Word of God, that lives the Word of God, that Christ liveth in me, the boldness that He's mine and I am His. Let me tell you something. Pray in the Holy Ghost. That one that sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. Be fruitful by His grace. Let that Spirit take control. But here it is, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Don't move from it. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. As we've read in Ephesians, that we would walk in love. Then go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. And it was so precious. A sister just sent me this yesterday in a little email. And the Lord already had it upon my heart. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll go over and read verses 7 and 8. That's what it says there. But the end of all things is at hand. See, Peter was even encouraged of that. They are looking for the Lord. Praise His name. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And how are we going to be sober and watching unto prayer? Above all things, have fervent charity. That means fervent love. Among who? Yourselves. Especially the family of God. Fervent love. For love covers, shall cover the multitude of sins. Praise the Lord. That's what it is. See, when we do one another even wrong from time to time, when we do sometimes yield to the flesh, the love of God, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. Amen? Amen. That's how this works. It worketh by love. You believe, you respond. As we're going to continue on in James, that work of faith in our lives, it's all because of the love of God. You want to please Him. He causes you to will and to do of His good pleasure. I'm so thankful for the mother that God has given me and gave me as a young person that brought me up in that sweetness of, son, you don't do this and you don't do that. It wasn't that at all. It was fall in love with the Lord. That's all it always was. She never talked to me even about the music that I listened to. She knew it wouldn't be long. Mom, I can't listen to this anymore. And I could see her just say, thank you, Jesus. She'd go over there. My whole life's been like that, by His grace. Knucklehead me that wants to be hard-headed, but yet the grace of God tender in my heart. And praise His name. See, that's when you know it's Him. When we try to remove things out of our life, that's not going to work that way. God fills us. And in that filling, it's like the wineskin. The dross comes up and goes out. You get so full of the love of God, the things of God, you don't have time for the riffraff anymore, do you? Amen. That's how it is in loving the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, in this we can think. We can think that we have faith. But let's see there. There's a couple things I wanted to say there, didn't I? I got off a little bit on that here. Let me get back to Peter. I wanted to mention something else in there. Lord, keep me. Praise His name. But in that Peter chapter 4, but the end of things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. The thing I wanted to mention there as well too, as the Lord was quickening my heart, is that we dwell together. We've been there so many times again and again in this meeting as of late. That word dwell means to settle down in marriage. Brothers and sisters, I pray that we dwell as the bridal body of Jesus Christ. That again, this isn't the whole thing. This I pray to God is a precious part of it. Not that we've attained or that we've apprehended, but we press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We know that, brothers and sisters. But there is an evidence of this, and that evidence is the love of God. Those that love His appearing love His beloved body. And that's exactly how it works. But see, we can think that we have faith to move mountains, and you might. You might have faith to move mountains. I know a lot of people that, I'm telling you, they're strong in themselves in believing the things of God. And they sure put up that they're believing the Lord. But without the love of God, it profits us nothing. Know that, brothers and sisters. We can believe in a sense all we want in flesh. But if it's not motivated in the love of the Spirit, it profits us nothing. It is of no effect. Faith worketh one way, and we've read that tonight. Faith worketh by love. But this book of James, it goes on to so sweetly confirm that we are with where our hearts are with God. And where our hearts are with God is always going to be evident, brothers and sisters, in our testimony. And that's why it is so important that brotherly love continues. And that this brotherly love thing is vital. It's necessary. It is the evidence of the full of faith, full overcomer in Christ Jesus. You think about the attributes that Brother Paul was so indicative of, that by God and His grace that would be in us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight of what? Of faith, right? I have fought a good fight of faith. I have finished my course of what? Of faith. And then, in case you didn't get that, he goes on to just say, I have kept the faith. By God's grace, he believed the Lord. And it was that love that continued him on to believe the Lord. And we cannot say, brothers and sisters, again this, unless we say it by God's grace, that we do have faith. Revelation 3:10 goes on to state, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Isn't that wonderful? Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. These are the Philadelphia saints that he's speaking of here. The ones that, again, he goes on to say, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation or the tribulation that shall come upon all the world. But you think about that word kept. That means believe or cherished faith. That's how simple it was. They believed the Lord in what he said. They believed the Lord in that there is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. They did believe the Lord when he said through Brother Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. How simple is that? How simple is it that there are going to be palm wavers in heaven? There are going to be those in the midst of the throne. How simple is it to believe that there are ranks in the resurrection, that one star differeth from another in glory, that every man will be in his own order? Amen. That's the word of God. It again and again throughout the word. But see, man in our self-righteousness, I was talking to a brother just moments ago, and I appreciated, he said, he knew somebody that said, oh, if I was just a janitor in heaven. Well, we had a pastor that said, well, I had a mother that said, well, if I just get into heaven by the skin of my teeth, I'll be happy. Get rid of that dirty self-righteousness. God doesn't want you just getting in by the skin of your teeth. Matter of fact, you didn't get in by the skin of your anything. You got in by the blood of the Lamb. That's how you get in. Hallelujah. And that's why you're there. But that was just the beginning. And in that blood, as that sweet cherubim, looking upon the mercy seat, seen there as those wonderful four living ones, the bride. They never have their eyes on anything but the undeserved favor of God, the mercy seat. And what was poured all over the mercy seat? The blood of the Lamb. Praise His name. That's all where everything is. It's in that wonderful throne of grace. But brothers and sisters, let's go on here. We know that it is impossible to please God without faith, and that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we cannot say that we have faith if we have respect of persons. And let's just lead it all together as the Holy Spirit brings this together. So if we have not faith, then there's two things that are happening. We are not hearing God, and we are not pleasing God. Amen? Amen. Let's listen to this. Brothers and sisters, we're here under this glorious message to win Him. And I know that we wouldn't be here tonight if the Lord wasn't encouraging our heart for that to be true. But I'm also preaching the word of His grace to tell us that we had better wake up here and pay attention to this, because without this love, without the fervent love unto all saints, we will miss God's best no matter how much truth we know. That's the truth. I know some brothers and sisters, very dear brothers and sisters. Every brother or sister in the Lord, believe it or not, is dear. The blood of the Lamb's on them. All right? But I know some that know so much of this word, so many places, can recite so much scripture, know about the bride of Christ, have rejoiced in the bride of Christ, but harbor great bitterness and harbor great dissension over saints. And I'm reading here that I best not prefer one before another. What do you think? Come on now. This is what we're reading. We best pay attention. See, the love of many is waxing cold. The word of God said that that would happen. And that's not talking about the world. The world doesn't have any love to begin with. Do you understand that? The love of many that's waxing cold is in Christianity. There's a form of godliness that's going on. And it's rampant. It's a disease. Denying the power thereof. They're eliminating Jesus Christ. It has been hurting my heart so again. I know some people that are precious Christians, but all of their writings are God this and God that and God this and God that. And that is a good thing, but who and what is your God? Amen? No man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Everything in the name of Jesus. How simple could that be? But yet, that is the name anymore, even in Christian churches, that is so often avoided, omitted. Might make people feel uncomfortable. God help us. God help us. It is the name above all names. It's the name that convicts. It either convicts you to love or to anger immediately. You can have all sorts of books. I can have something on, you know, whether it's Jehovah Witness. I could have something on Buddha. I can have the Quran. I could have all these things on my desk. Oh, that's interesting. That's what. Oh, you got a Bible there. I better go to the boss. You're not supposed to have that around. That's the day we live in. Right there tells you there's something about Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? It's all right. God said it would be so. Sure, it hurts our hearts. But they, and I'm talking about our sin that He took, hung Him on that tree. Know it. Put Him upon that cross, brothers and sisters. So let me tell you something. They hated Him without a cause. He said they'll hate you without a cause. But that love of many is waxing cold, and that deep freeze, brothers and sisters, is going through the churches even as I speak. There are many divisions out there. The Word of God even told us, as Brother Paul went in there, some of Paul, some of Cephas, some of Apollos, so many divisions going on. Even in individual meetings, you think of the bitterness and the resentment, provoking to wrath attitudes or claiming many lives and defeating them from being glorified together with Jesus Christ. If you go over there to verse 4, it is so telling in this. When we become partial, brothers and sisters, we are in judgment. Listen to me. Listen to the word of God. When we become partial, we are in judgment. Now, I know some disagree with me when I refuse to buy into the phrase of, well, brother, I love them, but I don't like them. I have heard that since I was knee-high to the grasshopper. I never really understood it. I kind of went that way for a while. Okay, that's good. That makes sense to me. I don't read that in here. I don't. And you won't find it in here. Like has nothing to do with it. It's love. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? Well, you know I love you. No, the Lord wasn't after that filial stuff. He was after agape, divine. Because that's the only love that God knows. That's what God's love is. It's divine. And that's the love that He's put in His children. That's what's there. Whether or not we're going to yield to it or let it out, well, that's a whole different thing, isn't it? Are we going to yield or not? But that's the only love that He has. It's divine. So brothers and sisters, I am telling you tonight, I'm not buying into that. This is one body. It is His love. And every member is part of that body. So why would we intentionally neglect or intentionally destroy a member of the glorious body that you say, that I want to marry? Come on now. See, a lot of people say, well, no, I want to marry Jesus. Okay. I want to be in the bride, and the bride's going to marry Jesus. And as the Lord so sweetly spoke to my heart so divinely, well, son, I got a head and I got a body. And I'm the head. And praise God, there's the body. And you can't marry me without loving the body just the same. That's the truth. It's wonderful to love people. It's wonderful. It's awesome. But only God can do this. You know it. If we've really been sincere and truthful with ourselves, we were not born to love everybody. We were born in to fight with one another. War is in the heart of man. I'd rather punch you in the mouth than talk to you at sometimes. Come on, that's who we are. Oh, not me. I'm sweet little this. You better get rid of that thought, because that is not anything but your self-righteousness. See, the glorious body is who we would want to marry. I was thinking, as the Lord brought me this, it'd be as stupid as me saying to my wife, when the Lord encouraged my heart to marry her, honey, I just love you so. I want to marry you. I want everything about you except your elbows and shins. I mean, isn't that just crazy? It's stupid. It's all together. Praise the Lord. And being part of the altogether lovely bride is recognizing and embracing that this body is altogether lovely. We are to edify and not condemn. We are to exhort and rebuke, but not to cast out and destroy. And yet there are still, brothers and sisters, many hearts, many, many hearts, that are consumed with hatred. And I'm going to tell you, just as it is, I'm going to preach the word of God, but consumed with hatred towards the saints. And even saints, as crazy as it sounds, that have went on high. And I believe the Lord has encouraged me to speak of it without hesitation. There isn't a month that goes by that I do not get some phone call in that office to deal with and to talk to. And I pray that the Lord would settle people down, that there are people that are still loathing Brother Hill. For those who might be visiting here, Brother Hill was our pastor for so many years. Praise the Lord of the truth, the love, and the faith. But there's some that, again, that are just consumed with animosity and hatred. And it's absolutely unbelievable to me. He's been with the Lord for quite a few years now. Get over it. I just don't know what else to say. I'm thankful there's some other things I want to say, but the Lord does hold my tongue. But I'm telling you, I really, you just would hope and pray that people wake up and understand. And the Lord is encouraged in my heart too, because I want you to know that there were people I have had a hard time loving over the church split. It took some time. And I thought I was justified in my feelings and in my wrath. What did you do to the body of Christ? Well, I was encouraged in my heart that maybe they were feeling the same way. And then as the Lord put love in my heart, which was, no, this isn't how we are. We love. We just love. By God's grace, we're here to love. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, you can only pray for people in this, because the whole thing is it wasn't Brother Hill that they were hating or loathing in the first place. It wasn't them that I was hating or loathing in the first place. I was fighting against God. They were fighting against God. They were being encouraged of the enemy. And I'll just say it right now. I, for a time, was being led of the enemy because I was harboring ill will for things when I knew that God was on the throne and God didn't see anything but His wondrous Son's blood. All right? Now, people can discourage us. We know when, by God's grace, they're not acting correctly. They're not motivated by the love of God. That doesn't mean I'm condoning that. It doesn't mean that I'm agreeing with it one bit. But liking it doesn't have anything to do with it. It's the love of God. I want to be ready for Jesus' appearing. I want you to be ready for the Lord's appearing. And you're going to have one requirement, and that's to love His appearing. Well, you know what, by the grace of God? Christ in me and Christ in you appears in here all the time. Do I love His appearing? I'm not going too far in this. I'm not. Love to all the saints. All right. I pray we receive this. And I pray it's not just something we, again, would just shake our heads in agreement, but yet walk out and say, well, that was nice, but I'm going to get right back and put the sand in my teeth. But brothers and sisters, see, the evidence of faith which worketh by love is love. And the evidence of taking truth and taking it in your own will and your own strength and your own purpose is anything but love. And the evidence of it will be everything that is against love. And some of the evidence that I see often is men and women going out of their way to control the fellowship of other saints. Don't let people control you. You be controlled by the love of God. Please. Please. Love. Love. Doesn't mean compromise. But God said love. Now, let's not fool ourselves if we're going out of our way to control fellowship that this is over truth. Because it's not over truth. It's over personalities and self. And the thing the Lord encouraged my heart is that, you know, we best get over it pretty quick. Because with a spirit like that, we'll be stuck in an inferior rank. And we've come too far for that. Praise the Lord. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:24 tells us that Christ gives more abundant honor to the parts which lack. The Word of God tells us that He came to save the lost, didn't He? The last shall be first. I like this one. That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination to God. So if anything, I'd be looking for the things that men don't like. Huh? That kind of cast off, think that's a big waste of time. Well, anymore, that's becoming anything that's a thought of God. anything to do with Jesus. So in that, I just say, by God's grace, God, help me get to get low and to get lower. But verse 5 in our second chapter here, brothers and sisters, I believe it really hits it. The poor of this world, rich in faith. And to interpret that, those that see the need of Christ Jesus in everything. Everything. Not just in material needs, not just in financial, not just when we're distraught or sick or lonely, but I'm talking about, and the Word of God is talking about, whatever it may be, these are the rich that see the need for all things in Jesus Christ. Why? Because faith is what pleases God. Faith. Just believing in His Son. Said it many times and I'll say it many more. It's not about how many soups I can serve. It's not about how many homes for humanity I can build. I'm not discouraging that. I think it's a nice thing. But let me tell you something. If it's not done with the love of God, it profited you nothing. Absolutely zippo. And here is the thing that does please God. It's called faith. Faith like a child. God said it. Praise the Lord. I believe it. God said it. Praise the Lord. I receive it. God said it. Praise the Lord, it is so. I'm not going to wrestle against it, Lord. This is your word. Romans 12:16 tells us, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Isn't that interesting? If you're ever going to get anywhere in this world, at least the world tells me, man, you need to kind of migrate to the cream. Huh? You got to hang around those that might have a little bit of coin to pour over on you. They're going to throw the money in the streets. The love of money, and we're seeing the evidence of it all over the world today. The love of money is the root of all evil. Power. Look at, they're just incensed with power. They're out of their minds trying to control. No matter who it is. So don't give me your party or your party. If it's man's, it's the wrong party. It just is. There's one side that's going to win, and that's God's side. So know this, brothers and sisters. Don't be swept away in nonsense. Be loving the appearing of the Lord. Now, we're going to rejoice even in next week how to look upon the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a wonderful thing. But this is loving tonight without hypocrisy. Verses 6 and 7 in our second chapter here, it says, don't be as the oppressors of this world. Those oppressors of this world, and we see it, those are the ones that blaspheme the name above all names, the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. And that's why this respect of persons, this is serious stuff. This is very serious stuff. I know I say it somewhat lightly, but I'm really trying to encourage in the most loving way I can. If you've been sitting over there for a long time, go fellowship with somebody over there. And over here and over there. It's a precious thing, and I'm so thankful to God that the Lord continues to free us up. The love of God, brothers and sisters, causes us to love everybody. You want people to know Jesus Christ. It's okay if you're mocked. It's okay if people call you an idiot. It's okay if the Lord encouraged you to speak with somebody on an airplane and it was sweet for 5 minutes, but then something happened and they're about ready to throw you out. And that happened to me on a plane trip a couple years back. There was a young man, and we had a sweet time talking about things of God and all of that. But once it came to the religion that this person was caught up into, I'm telling you, all of that love and all of that peace and grace of that religion turned into hatred like that. Because there was no thought of Jesus Christ. All right? There's but one way. There is but one love. And the one that is full of grace and truth, and the one that is the incarnate of all of God's love, hallelujah, is one. And that's Jesus Christ. Praise His name. So I love that one-stop shop, and I always say that to the Lord. And it is. You just go to one place. I'm thankful. I love how Paul went in there to those Greeks and said, well, this is kind of interesting here. This is a good place for me. He said, there's the God of the sun and the God of the wind and the God of the this and the God of the that. And he said, and I see the one I'm going to talk to you about, the one that you got out here, the one to the unknown God. That's the one we're going to talk to about tonight, the one that you have no idea about. Get rid of all of this other stuff because there is but one, and that's my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So how precious that that brother was encouraged in that. But brothers and sisters, see, we don't pick and choose who we're going to love. We don't embrace some and despise others. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. See, the only one that's really going to know this, and in some respects, brothers and sisters, as Brother David had to say, search me, O Lord, if there be any wicked way in me. A lot of times we get complacent. Oh, Lord, I just love everybody. I know it. Well, you know what? Lord, just go ahead and search me anyways. I'm thankful. I believe I do by your grace. But let's just get it on. I really want you to search me. I want that perfect love of God. And then if you strike and there's something going on, if there's some animosity, if there's some indifference, if there's any root of bitterness, get me on my knees and let's get the Holy Spirit and let him just shed that love of God abroad in my heart. That's the only way it's going to happen. It's not going to happen through good thoughts or me chanting or any of these things. A lot of people go to classes. No. It's called, by my Spirit saith the Lord. That's how it's going to work, and he'll bring it to you immediately. When the love of God comes in, you can't stop it. It just is that way. We've all experienced it, and I pray, God, we open up to it. But we examine ourselves in this, brothers and sisters. As last week, we read about the man that doesn't control his tongue. You deceive only yourself. You're deceiving only yourself. Come on. See, this is, again, this wonderful book is of the evidence of love in our lives that causes faith to work. It causes the expression of the working of faith in our life. And this is where he's going with, and this is what he's getting at. If we'll be honest with ourselves right now before the Lord, God, through his love, will heal you. Do you know that? God wants to heal. He's a healer. He's the great physician. There isn't anything hard for him. He saves the sick. And if you don't love all saints, you're sick. You are. There's something that needs healing. And if we will open up to the Lord and say, Lord, I truly, sincere before you, I love you, Lord. You've caused me to love you. I need love. I need your love to love everybody. To love this person, to love through this situation. Let me tell you something, he'll heal you. But if we continue to hide it away, if we continue to go in defiance and refuse the correction, the perfect love of God will not abide in our lives. It doesn't happen. And brothers and sisters, eventually you'll miss out. And as we were rejoicing, I appreciate that brother who encouraged my heart Sunday morning, to him that overcometh. See, we don't stand in front of one another and say, well, I just need to overcome you. I've had people tell me that to my face before. I'm going to overcome you. Does that mean you're going to kill me? Am I going to disappear? You know? That's not how it works. This is love, man. This is incredible stuff. This is when we settle down and embrace and dwell together in this wonderful marriage that the Lord has called us to. I cringe, brothers and sisters, when the saints put one another down, when we refuse to fellowship without cause, when we want to harbor past issues. Verse 8, let's go ahead and read that again. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Jesus Christ in the Word, and we do have time. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 22 with me. But Jesus Christ left us two commandments, and that was to love God and to love man. And in Matthew 22, we'll begin reading from the 36th verse. It says there, verse 36, chapter 22, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Well, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Isn't that something? thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Romans 13:8 says, he that loveth another fulfills the law. Now, I'm here to agree with you. Loving God is the easy one. Amen? But loving everybody, that's only going to be possible when we see souls. When we see souls. When you start seeing a soul, by God's grace, you're looking at people as the Lord sees them. That's how he gave his son. He loved the world. He loved the soul of man. His whole purpose was, I would that all men be saved. And here's your answer. My only begotten son, the Lamb of God, died for all the sins of the world. Praise his name. Now you think you can maybe look at that neighbor that may have despised you for so long? Some guy just caught in hatred, maybe because of the color of your skin, I don't know. God help people. There's a soul in there that the Father gave his son for. And that's just the enemy that's causing them to act like an animal. That's what they act like. But God told us to love. What do you think about that, huh? Now, you're going to need great power to love through that kind of stuff, aren't you? Only the Holy Ghost. But you know what? I've seen some mighty love. He's not here tonight, so I can talk about him. I had a man build in my house many years ago. My family had known him a long time. And sweet Brother Brown came out to help me with my sprinkler system, like he's done with so many of you all. And there he came out, and he had worked with me, and I knew his knees were hurting, and he was sitting in the back of his truck, and I went in to get some lemonade, and we were going to have a little break. And this man that was building my house came out, and I saw, or he came down the street, and he showed up, and I saw him talking to Brother Brown. And I went out there, and he said to him, oh, I thought I saw you on TV. He thought he was being funny about some things and seeing the riots that were going on there in California at that time. And there were very few times I wanted to actually take somebody and rip them apart. And I'm telling you, as I did at that moment. But the Lord had me be still. And I saw a man of God look at that man and said, you don't even know what you're saying. You don't. And he looked deep into the eyes of that man. And I'm telling you, the eyes of God looked at that soul and convicted that man to just basically curl up, not in fear of somebody going to harm him, but in that God was there. And it was amazing how about a few minutes went by. Brother Brown was talking to that man about the love of Jesus, when he had every right to just beat the snot right out of him. Every right. But there was a power. The power of love. There's such a great cloud of witness all the time, isn't there? I've lived through some great things. It's awesome. And it's always been through great saints. And great saints are all because of grace. So remember that. Don't tell him I talked about him. He'll get upset with me. But I love him, and I know you do too. But brothers and sisters, we need to see souls. We look on the outward appearance, and we're done. No matter who it is. No matter how wonderful or great, loving, godly we thought they were or are. And they are if they know the love of God. But no matter who they are, they'll eventually disappoint and discourage. But the soul, is valuable to God. And Christ in me, if I'll yield to Christ in me, there will always be a love for that soul. It won't part because the love of God never fails. the value to God of a soul, and especially a saved soul, a child of the King, a child of the family of God. The life of Christ Jesus lives in them. We talked about that Sunday. Think about that. The life of Christ Jesus lives in a child of God. Do you think you can love that? Do you think you can? Praise God, I hope we can. And I pray the Lord that we come on and understand this. His life lives in us. And we need to think about it. And I pray the light really goes on. But finally, brothers and sisters, we'll wrap it up. Verse 10 tells us, there is but one link that renders a chain useless. Amen? Amen? We heard it many times in this place before. You're hanging over a precipice, and you're hanging on to a chain of 10 links. Whether 9 of them simultaneously break and give way, or 1, you're just as done. You're just as done. You're just as dead. You know that. So what this is saying is, you can't do it. But praise be to God, the law of liberty, Jesus Christ, Him crucified, His blood, has already done it. It is finished. And I'll tell you what, I will let the grace of God judge me every time. It sounds so wonderful to my heart. Grace, grace, grace. That's verse 12. The law of liberty. The law of liberty is the undeserved, unmerited love of God. God so loved, John 3:16, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Grace, the law of liberty. Grace, the law of liberty. Otherwise, brothers and sisters, we're in a hurt. But that undeserved, unmerited love of God, clean, forgiven, accepted, favored, invited, welcomed, needed of the Lord, and expected, praise be to God. Now, this is His grace, brothers and sisters. This is His blood. But it goes on to say that who that will show no mercy, they will be judged without mercy. Now, I want you to understand this as a Christian. Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We can act awfully ornery. I remember I had a teacher one time that was a Christian man, and is a Christian man. I don't know if he's still around or not, but I remember I did. I said something so stupid. I said, oh, that's going to happen to me. And I was just joking around, but see, we've got to watch our foolishness, don't we? Never know. And I remember that man said, oh, don't say that. That'll happen to you. You'll be like Job. That which you feared, it's going to come on you. And it was so sweet. I was in eighth grade, and I didn't know my head from a hole in the ground. But the love of God and His scripture came to me, and it was Romans 8:1. And I just looked at that man, and I said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And he looked at me, and he shuddered. He just went like that. I probably hadn't acted much like a Christian all throughout eighth grade at that moment, or at that time, I don't know. But it hit him. And he said, well, you still shouldn't say that. And I kind of went, ah, all that kind of stuff. About a week later, I went back to him and he said, you know, you're right. I should have never said that. I was wrong. And I said, I apologize. But I said, you still believe Romans 8:1, don't you? I said, even in my foolishness, even in my stupidity, He keeps me. Because you know why? Because I'm judged by the law of liberty. You're judged by the law of liberty. Hallelujah. You're righteous. You're holy. That sinless perfection has already been taken care of. And in that, brothers and sisters, we can grow up. We can grow up into Him in all things. We can live the life and abound in Jesus Christ. We can love. We can be a body in this little church that can be a body that has no respecter of person. Amen. Let's want that in our lives. That's the joyous love of God. when we truly can look around this assembly and even outside of this assembly, that people can see the eyes of the dove when they see you. Lord, let them see Jesus. Let them see Jesus Christ. Not in a sense of, oh, what would Jesus do? I've said that many times. I'm thankful for any thought of God. But man, if I had to think, what would Jesus do? It's probably already too late. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in me. Huh? Well, if his mind's in me, I'm confident he's going to will and to do of his good pleasure. I can take bold steps in that. People can say, well, how do you know? He knows. As Peter finally said after the Lord kept, he was hounding him, wasn't he? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Hmm? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Hmm? And he finally had to end it. Lord, thou knowest. You know why Lord knows? Because of the life he gave me. Lord knows. That's the grace of God, brothers and sisters. So in that, we just kind of wrap it up. May his grace and truth reign in us to truly love without hypocrisy. And as I said earlier, and as our pastor said, week after week, thanks be to God, the love of God makes you love everybody. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise his name.